And so as we continue our I Am series, as we move into Lent season, I was watching a film this weekend called Just Mercy. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a great film on Netflix. I highly recommend it. And it's this film about a young lawyer named Brian Stevenson who's a Christian, and his view on justice and grace, his mercy, is just from his understanding of the gospel and what Jesus did on the cross. And so this young lawyer goes to the South in the U.S., where he goes and he takes up the cases of people who have been wrongly incarcerated, but just have never had the legal means, the money to pay for a lawyer. And so he goes to this town and he takes up the case of a man who's been in prison, having been accused of killing a white girl, this man being black. And he begins to unravel. He shows up to the town and he says, I want to look at this case a bit deeper. And they kind of just give him a warning of, maybe you shouldn't do that. The town is fine. That case is solved. There's no really need to be snooping around here. Just let it go. But this man wanted to search a bit more. He felt there was more. And as he began to search more, things began to come into the light. And he realized, wow, this man has been wrongly incarcerated. And so as this film develops, you can see that the more light he shines upon the injustices and the secrets going around, that people begin to hate him. People begin to cause him trouble in his life. And this reminds me that sometimes when light begins to shine and it begins to reveal, it is not always embraced. Light sometimes causes offense and discomfort when it shines. And so I ask the question today, when light shines in your life, what is your response? Are you offended by what the light reveals? What if Jesus shined his light upon your life and revealed that the areas that needed to be illuminated for change to come into your life? And so Jesus is the light of the world, whose light illuminates our life and the path that leads to fullness of life. And so this I Am series of the Jesus statements that lead us up to Lent, when Jesus is crucified, these all play together leading up to that moment. And so today's message of Jesus, I am the light of the world, begins in John chapter 8. And I want to read John chapter 8. And it's quite long, so bear with me as we go through 59 verses today. So let's begin here, starting with verse 1, where it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?' This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.' And at once more he bent down and he wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' Jesus said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go, and now on, sin no more.'" And we begin and we arrive here to our focus scripture. "Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' So the Pharisees said to him, 'You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true.' Jesus answered, 'Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand what he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he tells the truth. You do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, but you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do not know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word will shine light upon our lives and lead us to life with you. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 60 verses. I did not take that into account on time when I was preparing this message. But I think this passage can be broken down in two separate sections. We have the first 11 verses where the religious leaders attempted to put a woman caught in adultery on public trial as a means to bring a charge against Jesus. Instead, Jesus begins to illuminate the sin in the religious leaders' lives and brings restoration to the woman instead. And then you have the rest of the verses here from 12 to 59 where Jesus then turns his attention towards the religious leaders and the Jews and the Pharisees and begins to illuminate the areas in their lives. He illuminates their understanding of himself, of God the Father, and themselves. And that's why when we begin this passage of John 8 and 12, we have to look at the whole passage to get the understanding and the context here. And so we begin with, when Jesus declares, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so point number one today is Jesus declaring, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light of the world that illuminates humanity's path by which true life is gained to a world alienated from God and opposed to God because of sin. And so here in these passages that we're going to look through here, we see how Jesus begins to, as light of the world, begins to illuminate the way the Jews are thinking, the way the Pharisees are thinking. And so when looking at verses 14 to 24 here, and I'll look through them here, we see that Jesus reveals how little the Pharisees know about him and how their lack of understanding leads them to make false judgments against him. Jesus says, "You don't know from where I come from. You don't even know where I'm going." And so Jesus reveals, this is a shining moment, you could say, in the lives of the Pharisees, where Jesus is revealing in their lives. The Pharisees think that they have a proper understanding of who Jesus is and where he comes from. But Jesus reveals to them, "You don't know what you're," he essentially is saying, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have the right understanding. You don't even know where I came from. You don't know where I am going. You don't even know who my Father is." And we see that because the Pharisees have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is, then it leads them to make false judgments and false conclusions about Jesus. And then Jesus shines light upon their unbelief. And he shines a light upon their unbelief and what that unbelief means to their life. And it is not an easy light that shines upon the Pharisees here, because he says that their unbelief is what condemns them to their sin and to their death. Now imagine you're the Pharisees, you're the religious leaders, you're the ones that are supposed to be the closest to God within society. And here is Jesus illuminating a light upon their life and saying, "Unless you believe in me, you will die in your sin." That is a hard truth for the Pharisees here to accept. And some of the things that Jesus is unraveling here, some of the things that Jesus is shining light upon and illuminating their understanding of who he is and who the Father is, but he is also revealing things about themselves. We see that the Pharisees are really just judgmental religious leaders. And then Jesus in verses 31 through 38, Jesus reveals the reality of remaining in sin. He reveals how people remaining in sin are under the illusion of freedom, unaware of their enslavement toward sin and therefore unable to escape the life-controlling power of sin. And so Jesus shines and illuminates that true freedom is to no longer be a slave to sin, but to be free from the power of sin. And so here Jesus is shining his light upon the Pharisees and upon the Jewish people. He is shining his light upon truths that for some they have never even heard of and are hearing for the first time. Imagine that, because the Jews are perplexed. They're saying, what do you mean we are enslaved? We have never been enslaved. What do you mean we need freedom? And Jesus reveals, oh, you think you're living a life of freedom? He says, you are enslaved. As long as you remain enslaved to sin, you are not walking in freedom in your life. And I think that is true for our lives as well. That as long as we remain in sin in our lives, that we really are not walking in freedom. And here, look at this. The verses here is that the Jews are unaware of their enslavement. They think that they are actually free people, but Jesus shines the light upon them and says, you are not actually free. And that speaks about the deception and the lack of awareness that we may sometimes have in our lives, that we may think, I'm free, I'm living my fullest life, but Jesus comes and shines his life and says, you think you are living life to the fullest? No, let me shine my light, because this is what real life to the fullest looks like. And so Jesus reveals that the condition of their hearts prevents them from being able to understand and receive the truth. In verse 37, it says, I know that you are offspring of Abraham. You seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. Along in verse 43, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Their lack of understanding what caused a stumbling block in their life to understand what Jesus was saying is that their hearts were not willing or ready to hear what Jesus was saying to them in their lives. And I think sometimes in the same way that when Jesus shines his life upon our lives, it is not because we don't understand, it's because sometimes our hearts are not in the right place to receive what Jesus is saying. That the condition of our hearts prevents us sometimes from being able to understand and receive the truth. And so we reach to verses 47 and through 54 and 55 here. And this is a hard one to take, because Jesus reveals their self-deception in relationship to God. Look at the statements that Jesus says to them. He said, whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Verses 51 to 53 read, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. So the Pharisees here are claiming, he is our God. And Jesus shines the light and he says, but you have not known him. Again, Jesus' light is shining upon their life. Here are the religious leaders saying, he is our God. And Jesus shines upon their life and he says, God, you have not even known them. You have not even known him. The Pharisees lived in self-deception in relationship to God. And Jesus shines a light upon their life and says, you have not known him. These are hard truths. This is a light that is not easy to embrace for the Pharisees and the Jews here. And I think when I was preparing for this message, I was hoping it'd be like, oh, you know, when we think of light, it's positive. And it is. And I hope this message does end on the hope of the light. But light also can be rejected because of where we stand in our lives. that sometimes when light reveals the areas of darkness in our lives, we can become resistant because we hate the light. And so in verses 51 through 53 here, Jesus makes a claim that if you keep his words, if you believe in him, then you will never see or taste death. Jesus makes an outrageous claim here that he has power and victory over death. And these are outrageous claims to be made if Jesus is just another religious leader among them. That is why they asked, "Who are you? Who do you make yourself out to be?" And in verses 54 to 59, we see Jesus responding to them saying, and I'll start instead with verse 56 where it says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" And there's that statement of power, "I am." Jesus claims to be more than just a religious leader by calling God his father and claiming the title, "I am." Jesus is claiming to be God eternal, who appeared before Moses and revealed himself as, "I am who I am." And throughout all these light revealing moments, the Jews insulted Jesus. Along these moments where Jesus is shining his light upon the Jews and the Pharisees, they begin to insult him. They call him, "You are a Samaritan," which was meant to be a cultural insult to him. They tell him, "You are a demon. You have a demon. You're possessed by a demon." At some point they said, "We are not our father." In terms of the father, they said, "We're not born of sexual immorality." Some commentaries say that they could be alluding in terms of the way Jesus was born, that in terms of Mary and Joseph, that maybe they thought, "Oh, he was born out of wedlock. He was born in sexual immorality." You see, the Jews here and the Pharisees are not too much like us when light shines upon us and causes offense, that we become defensive sometimes if we are willing to admit that sometimes when light shines upon our lives, we become defensive of that light. Whether it be God lighting his light upon our lives, or whether it be the people that he has placed in our life around us to shine his light upon our life, we become offensive and we begin to just say ridiculous things. And that is what the Pharisees and the Jews are saying. They're saying, "You're a Samaritan and you have a demon." And so lastly, what their outrage leads them to is to pick up stones as they prepare themselves to stone Jesus. This is how offended they are by the light that was shining upon their life, that they began to pick up stones to stone Jesus. And it's amazing how this chapter begins, because this chapter begins with the attempted stoning of a woman caught in adultery that then ends with the attempt to stone Jesus. And I think that is almost like a picture that points to the cross, that when we're supposed to take the cost of sin and death that we are supposed to bear, instead Jesus comes in and takes our place instead at the cross. And so when I think about an application about some of these verses that we've read, I ask, when light shines in your life, what is your response? Are you offended by what the light reveals? When light shines into your life, do you lay down offense? If Jesus' light is shining in our life, Jesus' light shining in our life is meant to lead us to freedom. And I think these are things worth reflecting in our lives. And I think sometimes, if we are honest, that when light shines in our life, that our response is normally to take on a spirit of offense in our lives. This week, I forgot to ask my wife, can I share this? But I'm okay. She's okay with me sharing this, just because she's the winner on this one, so she looks good. And so we had gotten into a discussion, a creative discussion. And I was expressing my feelings because I'm trying to express my feelings, but I didn't realize that when I was expressing my feelings, that by expressing my feelings, I was communicating my feelings in a way that was tearing her down. I was in ignorance of that because I didn't know. I was just communicating my feelings because I was like, okay, I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to communicate my feelings. And then she turns to me and then she corrects. She shines a light into my communication and she says, you know, you could have said things this way, this way, this way without tearing me down. And I was like, wow, that's really good. I was like, I didn't even know that was possible to communicate in a different way. Now, it took me a while because when she started correcting me, when she started shining a light in my way of communication, offense started to creep in. Offense was starting to creep in, and I was like, okay, let's go. It's ready. We're getting ready for battle here. Activate defense system. Try to think about everything of why. And it was a defense mechanism. And I think a lot of us often when light shines upon our life, a defense mechanism lights up and we begin to defend ourselves instead of letting light do the work that it needs to do in our life. And I realized that when my wife was saying that and I was just like, okay, yes. I was like, wow, this is so good. Because as I was preparing this message, that's the first thing that came into my mind because I was preparing my defense of all my rebuttals of this, this, and this. But as I was thinking about that, just the Holy Spirit said, let that light shine in your life and take no offense. And I pray that that is how we respond, that when light shines upon our life, that we would not take offense in our lives. That we would let go of offense in our lives when Jesus is light or the people that God has placed in our life is shining light upon us. Because that light is meant to lead us to freedom. And so point number two here, as I try to move a bit faster, is whoever follows me. The invitation is to whoever, no matter who. The invitation is to follow him. The religious leaders often accuse Jesus by saying, this man, he eats with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus had a no matter who mindset approach. His invitation still remains the same. Whosoever believes, no matter who you are, if you believe, follow me. And I think sometimes, and here that Jesus is confronting the religious mindset of his day, that the religious leaders had a picture of if you're going to follow God, and this is what it looks like. But Jesus flips that around and says, whoever, no matter who. And that's why, and it reflected, Jesus' mindset and approach reflected in the way he lived his life because he ate with tax collectors and sinners. And so the invitation is to follow Jesus. That Jesus invites us into a relationship with himself, to walk with him and learn from him, a life of discipleship, following in his steps and experiencing the fullness of life found in relationship with God. Jesus is the light that illuminates the path by which one arrives at life. Last week, PSAM mentions that the life Jesus describes is a life of vitality. It is the absolute fullness of life, and it can't be found anywhere other than in relationship with God. We were alienated from the life with God as a consequence of our sin, but Jesus brings us to this life with God when we believe. Jesus illuminates what true life really is. Again, Jesus is shining his light and saying, you think that you know what true life is? And Jesus says, you're wrong. This is what life is. And you have to realize how bold of a claim that is. And how offensive. And you have to even realize how offensive that claim can be. I could imagine if I told that to my friends, if I see that they look that they're living their life to the fullest and they feel that they're living to their life to the fullest. And I said, you're actually not living your life to the fullest. The response would be, who are you to tell me what life to the fullest looks like? This is what life to the fullest looks like to me, and I'm living it, But Jesus makes that claim. He claims that Jesus essentially is making a claim of what life to the fullest looks like. And Jesus' view on what life to the fullest looks like is completely different than what our culture's view of life to the fullest looks like. Because culture allows for us to create our own version of what life to the fullest looks like, and that can look like differently for all people. But Jesus eliminates all of that and says, all of that doesn't matter. If you are not in right relationship with God, because true life to the fullest is being in right relationship with God. And so Jesus says here, as we're looking at this passage, that I am the light of the world, that whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. The darkness referred to here is representative of sin and humanity's condition of moral and spiritual wickedness. Therefore, the command as followers of Jesus, and what comes into question, is how we conduct our lives. Jesus revealed a powerful truth and a new reality for us by declaring, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, meaning will not walk in sin. And how does he make that bold claim of saying not that will not walk in darkness and will not walk in sin, is we go back to what Jesus revealed to the Jews, because he says that we are no longer slaves to sin. Instead, we now walk in freedom from sin. Absolute fullness of life is freedom. Grace, and I like what John Piper says about grace in our life, that grace is not simply leniency when we have sinned, that grace is the enabling gift of God not to sin. Grace is power, not just pardon. And this is a powerful truth that Jesus is illuminating to our lives, that we need to embrace and we need to allow to shine in our lives. Because so many times I've heard in church people just say, oh, we're all sinners, so therefore this is who I am. Almost as saying, I live my life from a place of sin. I live my life from a place of defeat. But Jesus shines a light and says, no, you are no longer a slave to sin. You now walk in freedom. See, the excuse of saying this is who I am doesn't make sense when you're walking in the light, in the light of life that Jesus has given us, because he says, you are no longer a slave to sin. Instead, you now walk in freedom from sin, from the power of sin in our lives. Yes, do we sin in our lives? Yes, the grace of God is there for forgiveness, but just as John Piper shares here, that grace is also power over sin in our lives. And I believe that's a light that we need to embrace in our lives as followers of Christ, that we can walk in power, not from a place of defeat, but from a place of victory in our life. And Jesus signs that truth in our life. And I could tell you that no person is walking in freedom as long as they feel enslaved to a sin in their life. If you've ever seen anyone who has been addicted in their lives, anyone who has struggled to overcome anything destructive in their life, they are not living in freedom. They are seeking freedom in their life. And I want to illustrate this by, I ask the question, what happens when Jesus shines his light upon your life? And I think sometimes this is common in the church, that people kind of, the way we do misleading cleaning, I would call it. And so this reminds me of when I used to clean the house when I was a young man. I don't know why I said a young man, but when I used to clean the house, the way I would do it, my mom would say, hey, you need to sweep the house. And so what I would do, as any bright young smart child would do, I would sweep, gather everything together, and put it under the rug. And I would do that every weekend until one day, and my mom would come in and be, wow, you've done such a great job, you've cleaned the house, wow, you're so good, blah blah blah. And then one day I wasn't cleaning, and it was my mom's turn. She was cleaning the house, and she lifts up the rug, and to her amazement, she's like, "What is this?" And she realized, "Oh, this is why you're done so fast. I know what you've been doing. You've been misleading in cleaning. You've just been putting everything under the rug." And her light was shining upon my cleaning, and the truth was revealed that I've been doing some false cleaning. And I think sometimes in the church, that's what we do. We don't do real cleaning. We just put it under the rug and hope that no one finds it. But here's the thing. It's just misleading. And Jesus' light will shine upon that. And what will be our response when that truth, when that clean, that dirt that we've been hiding comes to light? And I think the same thing happens in our life, that who we are, and this is why Jesus is confronting the Pharisees, because the Pharisees were just living lives of hypocrisy, that they would show before man. That's why Jesus said to them that you put on this show before man and before God, but your hearts are far from me. And that's why Jesus shined a light upon their life and said, "You do not know me." And I think that often happens in our life, that we try to portray this life that we're in the light, but we're really doing and not dealing with the sin in our life. And we're just putting it under the rug, hoping no one will find it. And sometimes someone does call us out on it. Someone finally does call us out on it. And our response is that spirit of offense comes out. And we say, "Who are you to judge me? We're all sinners. You have sin in your life. Who are you to judge me?" And they manipulate that in their lives. But here Jesus' light shines upon our lives. And my question is, are you living in a false sense of freedom, unwilling to allow Jesus to illuminate light into your sin? And lastly, I finish with this, that we have the light of life that illuminates to the world, where true life is gained. This light of life is meant to shine through our lives to the world. His light shines through our lives. When Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he actually declared these words. As he was speaking to the crowd, he was saying, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." How can he say those statements that we are the light of the world? Because we have the light of life in our lives. That is the fullness of that passage where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You and I have the light of life in our life. And because we have the light of life, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we walk in freedom from sin. And because we have the light of life, then that life not shines through us. And I purposely saved the story of the woman caught in adultery at the end, because I think it's a perfect example of Jesus shining the light of the world in this woman's life. That if you are in darkness, light will cause offense. Especially if you love the darkness, if you want to stay there. But there are people that are in darkness that are waiting for God's light to shine upon them, because they are looking for it as a way, as a path to illuminate them to God. And so when we look at this story of the woman caught in adultery, we see the heart and the intent of the religious leaders. The religious leaders, they catch this woman in adultery. And what they decide to do, they decide to have a public trial in her life. And they're really just taking advantage of this woman's situation. They're objectifying her, because really what their intent is that they're wanting to use this woman to trap Jesus. Can you imagine that these are meant to be the religious leaders in Jesus' day, the ones that are, this is why the way Jesus responds to the religious leader is always a lot harder than sinners, because the religious leaders were supposed to be the light that shines for people to come to God. Instead, they were being the greatest stumbling block for people to come to God. And so these religious leaders, they take this woman and they use her to try to trap Jesus. And so in this moment, Jesus, and I love it here, and I'll read from verse 3. It says, "The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placing her in the midst." Essentially, they bring this woman and they place her at the center. "And they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?' Here their heart is revealed. This they said to him, to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground, and he begins to write something down. And as they continued to ask him, he stood and said to them, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone.'" And so Jesus here confronts the sin in the life of the Pharisees. And he essentially is saying, "Who are you to judge a woman in this way when you have sin in your life?" And so the woman, the religious here, leaders here are ready to stone her. And I like this because the religious leaders pick up stones to condemn while Jesus came to save. And this makes me reflect on my own heart. Is my heart focused on condemning people or restoration? How do I see the sinner in my life? Do I see them as just, "Oh, poor them, look at them. But look at me and the way I am." And I like this part because the Pharisees have a stone in their hands. And I believe that you can't lead someone to restoration with a stone in your hand making judgments from the outside. And here it says, Jesus says in verse 8, "And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her." And I like this because one by one, each person started to leave. And it says that it was now just him and her at the center. And it's this moment of restoration of Jesus, that Jesus places himself at the center. And it says that here, "Woman, where are they who has condemned you?" Jesus said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and sin no more." Jesus places himself at the center with the woman. This woman caught in adultery was ready to be condemned by the religious leaders. And instead, Jesus invites her to a new life. That is the light that we want to be in this world. Reflective of who Jesus is, not reflective of who the Pharisees and the religious leaders are. That we would not have stones in our hands and judgments in our heart with poor intentions, but instead that we would reflect who Jesus is, willing to stand people at the center, willing to lead them back to a life of restoration. And so my final thoughts here is that Jesus' light was found offensive by the religious leaders, but it was found to be restorative to the sinners. That when our light shines, sometimes it will cause offense, but it will also lead others to the fullness of life that God has for them. I think most people, when we think of this verse of "I am the light of the world," we think that I am going to be light, and when I shine, people will love me because I'm now shining and people are going to go straight to Jesus. Jesus shows us in this passage that yes, light will shine sometimes and it will lead people to a restorative life, but yet sometimes light will shine and it will be an offense to people, and people will try to just like Jesus, they called him a Samaritan, they called him a demon, and they try to stone him. Yes, sometimes light will cause more of a struggle, more of a suffering in your life by shining. But that is what we're called to do. We're called to be the light of the world, shining in darkness. And I remember when I was a youth pastor, one of my interns was praying and she was worshiping once when the protest was happening. And I remember these words as she was praying over the city. She felt that God was saying that everything our hearts long for is everything he is. And I believe that that is true, that everything the world's heart longs for is everything who Jesus is. And we're called to be that light that leads people to that life with Jesus. And I think this is important for our lives, because right now, I would say, in terms of practicality, in terms of applying this to our lives, I know it's kind of hard to go out, but there are moments to be light, as we have different ways for you to be able to volunteer in this season. But honestly, I think the best place you can be a light at right now is your home. Is you being a light to your children, you being a light to your wife or to your husband, is you being a light to your father and mother, you being a light to your sibling, whoever you are most closest with, that you shine your light upon them in your life. But probably some part of the process is allowing Jesus to light the areas in our lives. So as we go into a time of worship, let us reflect, Jesus, where are you shining your light upon my life? Where am I taking offense in right now where you're trying to shine as we go into a time of worship?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me. Lay me in your feet, me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. There is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
My prayer is that we will lay down a fence in our life when God's light shines upon our lives. You know, one of the things I've been enjoying as a new father is watching my son wake up from either in the morning or his naps, because the room is dark. And so one of the first things we do is kind of just unzip his little swaddle, and his hands start becoming free. But as soon as I open the curtains and the light shines in, I just love seeing his response, because he's just like, he's like, freedom, and he's just smiling at you, and it's so precious just how he is in that moment. And I pray that would be our heart, that when God's light shines upon our life, even when it's offensive to us and it's hard, that we would just smile and just say, yes, God, shine more. I need more of your light upon my life. Rather than instead being, no, God, put me back in my swaddle. Put the curtains, close the curtains back. I want to be here in this place. And so that's my prayer for us, that we would find joy when God's light shines upon our lives, and that we would persevere as well, that when we're shining our light in the world and it causes offense to others sometimes, that we would persevere in shining our light. And so, Father, I thank you for your word this morning, that your word would shine a light upon our lives, that we would walk in the freedom that you have called us to, that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are free from sin, from the power of sin, because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done on the cross. And so let your light shine upon our lives. And we receive that goodness. We receive that light in the areas where we need to be offended in our lives, whether it be in things that we're doing, or in the way we speak towards one another in our lives. And I pray that the things that we have hidden for so long under the carpet, that you would just bring into the light, and that we would deal with them. And so, Father, I just pray as well that we would be a light to the world as well. That everything our hearts long for is found in everything that you are. And so, Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom from this day forward. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless.